Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew. Here we go again with a whole new weekly batch of top news stories that appeared on Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Coins minted in Yemen in the late 1600s now serve to track the movements of British pirates in the American colonies. 6th century floods in Italy apparently prompted reports of saintly miracles involving flooding. A Roman site in Bulgaria has yielded 14 different colors of fine marble, apparently to honor Emperor Constantine I. And a new study of mummified birds in northern Chile shows that parrots and macaws were traded from the Amazon for hundreds of years. The audio news team would like to thank our friends for helping us continue the show without a break since we started nearly 20 years ago. If you're not already a supporting member, please go to archaeologychannel.org and click on the donate button. Especially now, we can use all the help we can get. We encourage our listeners to check out our answer to Netflix, which is Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org and just launched at the beginning of 2021. Currently, we have 121 fascinating titles for you to binge upon on your smart TVs with Roku. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. And now, here's Laura Pettigrew with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 28th through April 3rd, 2021. We begin our week's coverage with evidence found in New England left behind on the escape route of murderous English pirate Captain Henry Every and his crew, who in the late 1600s became some of the world's most wanted criminals after plundering a ship carrying Muslim pilgrims from Mecca to India on the Red Sea. As reported by APnews.com, a handful of rare Arabian coins unearthed from several states across the region over the past two decades add to the evidence of the pirates' movements through this region while evading prosecution by the British monarchy. In September of 1695, the pirate ship Fancy, commanded by Captain Every, overtook and captured the Ganges-e-Sawai from the fleet of Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb. It is estimated that tens of millions of dollars worth of precious metals and gemstones were on board, along with worshippers returning from religious pilgrimage. Historical accounts indicate the pirates raped and murdered the passengers aboard the Indian ship and then absconded with its treasures before sailing to the Bahamas to avoid punishment for their heinous criminal acts. Evidence collected indicates that some of these pirates then traveled to the American colonies, using the plunder along the way for bribery towards safe passage and in obtaining false identifications. In 2014, amateur metal detectorist Jim Bailey found an intact 17th century Arabian coin in Middletown, Rhode Island. Further analysis indicated the coin was minted in Yemen in 1693, decades before any documented trading between the regions. More than a dozen similar coins have now been identified. Captain Every was able to remain at large by posing as another slave trader. Obscure records show a ship called the Seaflower arrived in 1696 with nearly four dozen slaves on board at Newport, Rhode Island, which later became a major hub of the North American slave trade in the 18th century. According to Connecticut State archaeologist Sarah Sportman, it seems likely that some of Captain Every's crew were able to settle in New England and integrate with local populations. Since the initial discovery, other detectorists have unearthed another 15 Arabian coins from the same era, 10 found in Massachusetts, 3 in Rhode Island, and 2 in Connecticut. Another coin turned up in North Carolina, where written records show some of Captain Every's men first came ashore. While the coins provide evidence of the crew and their leader's presence in the region, Every's last known whereabouts still remains a mystery. A team combining research on ancient religious texts with analysis of a stalagmite from an Italian cave proposes that increases in rain and flooding caused by climate change led to the simultaneous emergence of beliefs that certain saints held divine powers over water. A new international and interdisciplinary study, led jointly by researchers from the University of Pisa and the University of Warsaw, links paleoclimate data showing increased rain in northern and central Italy to historical accounts of people's lives. As reported in a publication by the Max Planck Institute, the researchers found that in the 6th century AD, this region experienced increased moisture levels from a long-lasting negative phase of the North Atlantic Oscillation, which inundated northern and central Italy with moist air. To obtain climate data from the past, the researchers examined a stalagmite from the Ranella cave in northern Tuscany. Like rings of a tree, layers of minerals deposited over centuries provided a record of datable wet and dry periods for analysis. Because these Atlantic waters have a higher concentration of lighter oxygen isotopes than typical precipitation in northern Italy, this weather pattern left noticeable markers in the layers of the stalagmite. From this analysis, it appears that at least parts of Italy had become a land of torrential rains. The authors then turned to historical records looking for similarities. Using the Cult of Saints in Antiquity database, researchers compared 6th century Italian writings against late antique and early medieval hagiographic texts. Study co-author Robert Wisniewski of the University of Warsaw emphasizes that while literary accounts shouldn't necessarily be taken at face value, they do reflect the worldview of the period and offer clues into how extraordinary weather phenomena were interpreted. For example, the known literature from times before and after this period contains very few instances or descriptions of large-scale flooding. However, 6th century accounts from the Italian peninsula contain multiple stories about so-called water miracles, in which saints brought down violent rains, diverted rivers, or somehow relieved flooding. In Dialogues on the Miracles of the Italian Fathers, attributed to Pope Gregory the Great, these types of events make up nearly 20% of all references to miracles. The reason for this, according to the authors, was the changes in climate that manifested itself in increased rainfall and flooding across the region at the time. Scholars increasingly acknowledge that climatic phenomena can be facilitators of social and cultural change. By combining both natural and sociological data, it becomes possible to better understand the overlapping experience of a period, and to better reflect on how societies may handle the effects of climate changes in the future. Ulpia Escus was one of only three cities located in today's Bulgaria to have enjoyed the status of a Roman colony, and at its peak during the 4th century AD, it supported a population of approximately 100,000 people. Today, the distant region containing the former metropolis is mostly depopulated, and while the site has been prone to looting, it is still home to some well-preserved Roman streets and ruins. According to a recent report from archaeologyinbulgaria.com, 14 colors of marble thought to have been used primarily for decoration have been identified from the remains of public buildings at a site in northern Bulgaria, now referred to as the Ulpia Escus Archaeological Preserve. The Roman city was built directly on top of the remains of a Roman military encampment dating to AD 10 and took several hundred years to complete. It served as the administrative capital for the region and is located near the confluence of the Iskar and Danube rivers. The marble was discovered during 2020 as part of ongoing archaeological excavations of the Aula, or Great Hall, part of a building complex including public baths, or thermae. The digs were carried out by a team including Gergana Kabakcheva and Silva Sabkova from the Bulgarian National Institute and Museum of Archaeology, and Sonia Lazarova and Tinka Krasteva from the Pleven Regional Museum of History. Researchers believe that the room where the marble once would have shown its intact brilliance was built to welcome Emperor Constantine the Great for the dedication of a monumental bridge spanning the Danube River in AD 328. At the time, the bridge was the largest river crossing ever constructed and represented both an important engineering accomplishment by and expansion of the Roman Empire. The quality of marble found suggests that the room was immaculately decorated with carved columns of striped calcite and wall encasings made of red jasper, an opaque variety of quartz typically reserved for imperial residences, temples, and other places where emperors or dignitaries would be honored. Many of the recovered pieces are only colorful fragments, yet still display fine craftsmanship and impeccable fluting. The researchers also discovered that the Grand Hall was heated by circulating warm air through brick columns built beneath the floor. Samples of some of the most striking marble, as well as other artifacts and sculptures previously found at the site, were recently put on display at the Bulgarian National Institute and Museum in Sofia. Scientific testing of mummified birds found in the Atacama Desert in South America revealed that between AD 1100 and 1450, religious rituals and trade brought parrots and macaws to communities at elevations well outside the birds' native habitats. According to ScienceDaily.com, researchers from an international and interdisciplinary team have found the birds' feathers at human burials and other archaeological sites. The team visited various collections around northern Chile for nearly 3 years, looking at a wide range of what types of ancient remains had already been found. The researchers studied 27 sets of remains from scarlet macaws and Amazon parrots, collected from 5 oasis sites across the Atacama. Their results were published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. According to Jose M. Capriles, an assistant professor of anthropology at Penn State, it would have been extremely difficult to transport live birds across the huge steppes, through the cold weather and difficult terrain of the Andes to the Atacama. Capriles also noted that the historical importance and use of macaw feathers for pre-Columbian societies was both widespread and ubiquitous. Zooarchaeological analysis, isotopic dietary reconstruction, radiocarbon dating, and DNA testing helped to catalog scarlet macaws and at least 5 other parrot species that were transported from the Amazon basin over 300 miles away. The team mapped the distinct natural habitation ranges of scarlet macaws, blue and yellow macaws, and the various parrots, trying to determine how they might have traveled to the Atacama. Most of the bird remains examined were dated between AD 1000 and 1460, towards the end of the Tiwanaku Empire and before the Inca came to control the region, a period of both warfare and great commerce marked by frequent llama caravans passing through. The researchers found that the parrots were eating the same diet as the people who owned them, which included foods enriched by nitrogen from maize which had been fertilized with manure. According to Capriles, at least some of these birds did not live happy lives. They were transported and kept in captivity solely to produce feathers used in ceremonial and ritual practices. Perhaps even more unusual than the importation and the use of the birds was their preservation after death. Many were found mummified with their mouths open and tongues sticking out, while others had their wings spread wide in permanent flight. Additionally, several were found wrapped in protective animal skin bags or wrapped with decorative textiles. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. I'm Laura Pettigrew, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.